Chapter number 4. It's been a good day. We've tried to honor the Lord and give the gospel, and it's been a delightful day and honorable to the Lord. And it's always good to get in God's house. Amen. We've had a lot of exposure, like he said, just thousands of cars coming in and pulling in, just trying to dodge the cars and the tow trucks and the tanker trucks coming in the parking lot today around 4 o'clock. I wish we'd have just put a verse on there, repent and trust Jesus, you know, on the sign or whatever, so they could see that. But that's a blessing to see God's people with their Bibles coming in, honoring the Lord, and I'm just so thankful. I watched some of that, not 5 hours of it, but I watched some of it, and I saw Mrs. Erica Kirk, and we were both bawling. I don't know about you, but you know, they did give Jesus glory, didn't they, and honor, and I hope many got saved as a result of that. But I'm thankful for our church. I love our church, and I appreciate you folks so much being here tonight. In chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'd like to speak for a few moments on this title, A Passion for Souls. A Passion for Souls. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful to bring us back here, Lord, where we can give you the glory and lift your name. And I pray, Jesus, if there's one here even tonight that has never trusted thee, Lord, that you'd touch their heart and help this be the day of their salvation. Oh, Lord, there's so much peace and there's so much contentment that comes through a relationship, Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ. And I know heaven's pulling and people are praying for souls to get saved. And Lord, may we never get our eye off the target, off the goal, Lord, and that is to win souls for thee. And I pray you'd bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The context is Jesus is starting his public ministry here on earth, and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And you remember when he was baptized, he followed the Lord in baptism. There was a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then Jesus was led in verse 1 up of the Spirit into the wilderness, and the devil was tempting him. Now Jesus never sinned. He was perfect and holy and righteous and undefiled, and he's the Savior of the world. He's God. Jesus is the Son of God, but he was tempted. Temptation is not a sin, but when we fall, you know, we yield to temptation, then that's sin. And so the devil tempted Jesus just like he tempts us. He tempts us with the lust of the flesh. This old flesh will come against us and pull at us until we get our glorified body. He was also tempted with his eyes, and but yet never yielded. And then down on in that chapter, the pride of life. You remember that? You know, pride takes down a lot of people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We just need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And then the Bible says he'll lift us up. And so pride's a big one. And of course, Satan fell because of pride there. He got thinking too much of himself. And then the devil left Jesus in verse 11. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Aren't you thankful that God won't put on us any more than we can stand? And we need that encouragement from time to time, especially in the area of soul winning. And then, of course, John was put in prison. They would finally take off John the Baptist's head. And the Lord said, let's come apart. And he went into the seacoast of Capernaum in verse 13. And he rested. And then verse 17 is where we started our text. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what? that's the message people need to hear today, don't they? They really do. That they can be forgiven if they'll just ask for forgiveness. Wasn't that great what she said with tears running down her face? It was so hard for her, but she says, "The man that killed my husband, I forgive you." Just like Jesus, right? What did he say on the cross? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That was so powerful. And it was passionate. And you know, Jesus went to the cross. Hear me now. He went to the cross that we might be forgiven, that we might go to heaven, that we might become clean and have our sin debt paid in full. Praise the Lord for that. What is passion? Passion is any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling. It may include intense and boundless enthusiasm. We need more of that. Amen. We need enthusiasm, especially when it comes to the souls of men. We get enthused. We get passionate about so many things that are worldly. And I'm not saying it's all wrong. But, you know, the needs that we have and the wants and the selfish things that we have, we're passionate about or enthusiastic about. I remember one year, and I'm ashamed to even tell it, how passionate I got, because the Colts were in the Super Bowl. We came to church, had a great day, and it was when Tony Dungy was their coach. And I liked Tony Dungy because he stood for Christ. He was a Christian man. And I was pulling for him. I think his quarterback was Manning, if I'm not mistaken. I don't even remember who they played, but they pulled that wind off. Who did they play?
Chicago
Bears. But they pulled that wind off. And Tony Dungy, I was just so happy. David, I began to jump. I began to shout. They won. They won. Can you believe it? And Tony Dungy gave God the glory. I was very enthusiastic, Cisco, about that. But you know what? We ought to be that same way when it comes to a soul getting saved. Strike up the band. I mean, a sinner is saved. The value of one soul coming to Christ. And that's the way. They come one by one, right? Sometimes they come in flocks and numbers, but most of the time, just like you were talking about with the missionary letter, it's coming just here a soul, there a soul. God brings somebody into our midst, and we pray for that soul, and we finally see them come to Christ. I'm thinking about Leon back that was here this morning in the back, and I'm thinking of the change in his life. I witnessed that man so many times, and I, you know, when you work with people, then you get a burden. And I worked with Leon, digging ditches on this modular and wiring it, and he did so much for this church. He really did. And we'd have lunch together. We would just go get parts together, and I was so burdened. And it took a while for him to come around, but he, you know, I took a video. That Pensacola Christian put out, and it's Where Will You Spend Eternity? And it's just a powerful gospel presentation. And I sat down underneath his carport and watched that. But I can't tell you how many times I wept over that man. I wept over him, praying for him to be saved. And finally he got saved. And he came to church. God really had to work in his life. But you shouldn't put the Lord off. You should just go ahead and get saved. Amen. God had to flip it was like a four-wheeler, whatever they're called, ATVs or whatever, flipped him in the woods, and he had a horrible, horrible accident there. And finally, God used that for him to look up. It's so much better if you'll just come to Christ now. Don't go through all of that. Don't go through a bullet hole in your leg, Brother Mike. I mean, to come to Christ. He's saying amen right there. Trust Him now. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. But he finally came to Christ, and he hadn't drank a drop in 3 years. What a changed man. Calls me at the house. He was so, it was like opposites. You know, when you try to talk to somebody that's lost and they know they're lost, and they're just resisting, it seems like the devil gets in there, doesn't he? And he tries to stir things up and bring hindrances and irritations. But it doesn't have to be that way. They can come to Christ right where they're at. And so he finally got saved. But it started with a passion, this enthusiasm about the Lord. When you have something that's changed your life, you want to share it with other people, right? If you had cancer and there was a cure for cancer or some type of dreaded disease and there was a shot or a cure, you would want to tell somebody about that. Miss Hope, I've had shingles years ago, but after seeing what you went through, I said, you know, I probably should get the shingles vaccine because it's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. So I went about a week or so ago and got a shingles shot. I think I'm supposed to have another one in February. But when you're excited about something that's good, something that helps, you want to share it with other people that you love. And that's the way it should be with the gospel and Jesus. Because he, to be quite honest, to be totally honest, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. He never changes. This world changes. Circumstances change, you know, people change, but I'm thankful we have a Savior who is steadfast and true, and we can always go to Him. Most of us have little passion for the things of the Lord. Christians should be motivated by and passionate people. This is what's missing a lot of times. We're just not passionate about Jesus Christ. We're not driven by something outside of ourselves. That's one reason I really like missions. And I thank God for all the missionaries who are out there serving the Lord, because it's not selfish. And a church, when they get their heart on missions, which our purpose is to share the gospel, right? That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's bigger than ourselves. And it's totally unselfish. And when you see the results and the fruit of that, it's just very motivating. So we need to be passionate people. What do we need to be passionate about? Number one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. I told Miss Bonna, she's the one that prints our tracks. And there's nothing wrong with these tracks. I thank God for these tracks. There's only one problem with these tracks. They won't go in my pocket. They go in my back pocket, and then I sit on them, they bend. But I think we ought to have tracks on us. Ladies, you ought to have tracks in your purse. Amen. Men, you ought to have tracks in your pocket. And so I talked to Miss Bonna this morning. I said, I need about 5,000 or 10,000 of those tracks we used to have. I don't have one of those 100% tracks. Are you 100% sure? Are you 100%? If there's someone that has one of those tracks, or I can get it, you've got one, bring it to Miss Bonna, and she will print those tracks. But we need to get the gospel out. Get the seed out of the barn. There's, Brother John, you told me a couple days ago, you like those little smiley tracks. And Jesus has got a smiley face, and Jesus is our joy and such. There's a whole case of them here. And I love those tracks too. We just need to get a rubber stamp and put our church information on it. But you know what? The seed's in the barn, but we need to get it out, don't we? So people can have the same joy that we have. There's a lot of joys. I look at joy. There's like 3 or 4 joys in here, right? And my neighbor I'm working on to get to church, her name is Joy. Come on. Come to church with all the other joys. But, you know, when you get Jesus, you'll have joy. We need to be passionate about Jesus, our Savior. He's our best friend. He's worth trusting. And He's worth honoring. He's the who, it says right here. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, saw two brethren. Some of you have been to Israel and you've walked along that beautiful Sea of Galilee. Well, he was evangelizing. He was preaching repentance. And there was Simon. He cared about Simon. He loved Simon. And there's those apostles. And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here's a message right here. If we're not following Christ, we're not going to be fishing for men. And so we need to follow the Lord, don't we? We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. And then you'll become more passionate for the souls of mankind. Passionate about His work. Passionate about His work. This is extended to every Christian, every person that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for our trustees, all these men. They're good men, aren't they, Larry? They're good men that you can trust, and they help me. And, you know, I think that's the biblical way, really. The pastor is supposed to give himself to prayer and to the ministering of the Word of God. And those good men, those were deacons chosen in Acts chapter 6. And they took care of the business of the church. And you're right, Joy, we do need to delegate more, don't we? People need something to do. And you can all pray, amen. You can all serve the Lord. You can all give. You can all be faithful with your influence. But yeah, thank God for these men. But it's not just for the pastor to be a soul winner, to be passionate about. It's not just for the man leading the music. It's not just for those eight trustees. Being passionate about souls and passing out tracts and being a witness is for everybody here tonight. Every single soul that's under the sound of my voice here tonight. So we need to be more passionate about Jesus. And you're right. When God brings those people into our life, Jack Hiles had a 3-foot rule. If a person got within 3 foot, he'd witness to them. That's the way it was. Hey, when you go on an airplane, are you praying for the person that will that you'll sit by? People get saved on airplanes. You have to be a little... you know, you don't want to pull out the, are you 100% sure if you died, you'll go to heaven? Not right when the plane is taking off, you know, but you can open your Bible, give them a scripture. Sometimes if you go on there and pull the tray down and just have your Bible and you read it, then they'll ask you questions. And God may be working on them in their life at that particular time. And then you can say, well, let me tell you about the best friend I've ever had. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for me. And people can get saved on an airplane. Or I've never been on a cruise ship. Hope I never have to go. But I guess they can get saved on a cruise ship. And I don't know, John, you've been on a lot of cruises. And Jim, have you ever passed out a track on a cruise ship?
Yes.
Amen. Hey, if this boat goes down, are you 100% sure if you died? You know, you hear about people falling overboard all the time. And so I don't know. But you can be a witness wherever you go. If it's at the Fry's grocery store, if it's the gas station, Costco filling up. And sometimes I like to, the person that pulls up on the other side of the pump, I'll just poke my head around there. The truck's being filled up. And I'll pull out a track and say, hey, this is some good news. And we'd love to be a help to you in any way we can. And our church is over here on the corner. And so, you know, you can be a witness wherever you go. And I think it's biblical. It is biblical, folks, to be a passionate witness and soul winner, because He says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And He says, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. And so we have a biblical mandate to be a witness. Are you passionate? Are you fishing for men and women? Passion also means to suffer. You've heard of that term, the passion of Christ. Well, the devil reminds us of that suffering when we are fired up about soul winning. He always, I tell you, there, like when it's time for visitation, and Jeremy, we were talking about putting in there in the Saturday column in the bulletin, church wide visitation every Saturday. And by the way, it's at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. on Saturday. We ask that you come as much as you can. And we go out, and there are some faithful ones that still go out on every Saturday. And we try to ask you to visit for about 1 hour, 1 hour or less, then go to lunch. That's the day we go get an In-N-Out burger on Saturday after we witness. We look forward to that. But this Saturday, and it's been in the bulletin, church-wide visitation, for over 30 years. And so visitation is something we need to do. You say, well, I can't get out there in the heat. Well, it's coming into fall and coming into winter. You say, well, I'm afraid to knock on doors. just go pass out a few tracts, make a few visits, try to be an encouragement. Hey, go to Harbor Freight and give somebody a witness. Go to Home Depot. The people at Home Depot are very receptive to the gospel. I don't know why that is, but I'll tell you somewhere else, dollar stores. How many of you ladies like to go in dollar stores? That's a good place to go witness. People are struggling, and you can put a smile and give them that little smiley tract. I tell you what, you'll go home and you'll be blessed when you give out the gospel. But sometimes we come and, you know, our bodies will ache. We may have a headache. You know, you'll have some sore muscles when you try to go out on visitation. You don't want to get out the door and turn the doorknob. I mean, you would rather sleep in, but 10 o'clock, I mean, come on. Brother Jackson, you're up at 3 and 4. And, you know, 10 o'clock, you can make it. But it won't be easy. The devil doesn't want you to be passionate about reaching souls. So you just have to press through that. And then it's always a blessing when you go ahead and obey the Lord in that and get the visitation. There's never a convenient time to go. I don't care if you try it on a Thursday night or Saturday night or a Tuesday night. But the old devil will try to fight that. You know why? Because that's the number one thing that Jesus wants to accomplish. Amen? That's his heartbeat, is souls. So sometimes we will suffer. There could be hostility. But we're not out to argue with people. We're not out to fight with people. And just like Charlie Kirk in his life, you know, his testimony, he wanted to give people the truth. And you give the people truth in love, in mercy, and it'll work. The gospel will not return void. His word will not return void. There's a lot of distractions. I've led people, Lord, and have gone through the Bible and showed them how to be saved. And it's very simple. Let's just rehearse real quick. You got to know you're a sinner before you're saved, right? We all deserve hell. But Jesus paid the price on the cross when he hung on that cross for sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he loves you so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I have been with people and shared that gospel truth, that message of love. And about that time, I'm serious. A little child will run out in the road. A cat will literally crawl up my back and go over the couch. The phone will ring. Why is that? The devil doesn't want people to be saved. You know, the devil doesn't like me preaching on soul winning today. It's soul winning, right? Yes, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Friends, we're all to be witnesses, and we're all to be soul winners. And now we realize that we can't save anybody, right? Only the Lord can save them. But we are instruments. We are messengers. And so don't get away from that. Don't give up on your soul-winning efforts. College students, young people that are in school and wherever you might go, there's other young people that need Christ. I tell you, this Turning Point USA was a explosive thing for young people coming to Christ. And God used that man so very much. And God is still going to use that organization in a great way. You know why our president and all the cabinet and all them came? Someone said it. It's because they owe the efforts of all that those folks who were in that organization. They owe them for being off. That's the way they got in office. And it was Vice President Vance that said, for the last 2 weeks, he's been more of a witness and telling more people about Jesus than all of his public career in the last 2 weeks. You know what? We need to have that passion as well to give the gospel. Give the gospel. It may be the next door, the house next door. Someone is ready. Hear this. Someone is ready to hear the gospel. So get in the habit. Someone is waiting. I remember years ago, a lot of great things that has happened to this church. And I debated whether I should tell some of the things. I mean, giving the gospel and by one person getting saved. Great things has happened to this church. Passing out a tract. Hey, listen. Being a blessing and going up to the hospital and witnessing to families and trying to be a blessing. One hot summer day we passed out a tract, and as a result, a lady came to church, went to the hospital, and the woman, the husband died, and then she, Bev, ended up dying in a motorcycle accident because passing out a tract on a hot summer day behind Home Depot down here on Camelback, she left the church over $150,000. But we don't go soul winning for that. But I'm telling you, God honors soul winning. God blesses soul winning. And not to speak of the funerals. When they had a funeral, remember, Brother Mike, when those bikers came in here? And over 20 people trusted Christ. Amen. Just being a soul winner. And I'm telling you, God honors soul winning. And we should never get away from the heartbeat. There was a woman... I'm trying to think where we lived, if it was in Peoria down there. It might have been Charter Oak and El Mirage, but it was another hot summer. I think it was in Peoria, actually, because I went out to visit, you know, where Pinnacle Peak is up north, and there was not a lot of development out there at that time. There was one little trailer park, actually, that that I had never visited in, and it was so hot that day, and I said, well, I'm just going to go pass out a bunch of tracts. Sometimes when opposition comes and a lot of a fight, you know, the devil throwing fiery darts at you, the best thing you can do, Sister Joy, is get a pocket full of tracts and go witness. Amen. That's a good thing to do. But I went out that particular day, and there was a trailer there, and the sun, Martha, was just shining in my eyes. I remember this. And I knocked on the door. On the glass door, and I didn't go to the front door. I don't even know if it had a front door, but I tapped on that glass door. And something you never want to do, you never want to stare in the glass door, in the glass. You may get killed like that and go to heaven. But I just left the track. You know, I didn't want to peek in there and anything. And then I heard this little voice come out of there. Come on in. And she said it again, come on in. Well, I did peek after that. I did peek in. I didn't know who it was I was talking to. And I saw a lady in there. And she was on the couch and she had oxygen. She looked like an older lady. And she could not get up from the couch. And she said, come on in. And as a man, you want to be really reluctant. Anybody going in, you know, the opposite sex there. And so I did crack the door. And she said, come on in. I can't get up. And so I went in and I gave her the gospel. And she was so sweet, so kind. And she got saved. She got saved just there on the couch. And she didn't have much time to live. But I had never seen that lady again. I don't know if it was because of the distance out there or what. And it was some time after that. I want to say about a year, I got a call from a funeral home. And they said, would you like to preach this funeral? They didn't have any pastor to preach the funeral. I said, sure, I'll be glad to. So I went up to the funeral home. And I had no idea who I was preaching the funeral for. That's the gospel truth. And the casket was closed. I got up there. And it's a great opportunity to preach the gospel, right? And you know what? After that funeral, after I preached, they opened up the casket, and lo and behold, it was that woman. And she had the tract. I'd never seen her for about a year. And you know what? God honors our efforts when we obey Him and we get that passion for souls. Do you have a passion? Get in the habit of soul winning. Jeremy, you're getting ready to go on a trip. And take tracts with you. You'll be traveling. You'll be going on different attractions and things and work too. But be sensitive and say, Lord, give me a divine appointment today. Give me somebody to talk to. Pass out tracts. Ask people about their relationship with Jesus. Remember, the Bible promises this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Are we? Now here's a statement. Listen, perk up here. Listen to this. We're not trying to do the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit convicts the hearts, and the Word of God gives us the truth. We are not trying to do the Holy Spirit's work. We are simply looking for those who the Holy Spirit is already working on. And He is working on people. People have come to me and say, the Lord's working on me. The Lord's showing me some things. And so be ready to give an answer. Now here's something. Pray for souls. Pray for souls. Are you praying for souls to get saved? I've got several. I told Jeremy tonight, Jeremy Coleman, we need to put more souls in the bulletin. You know, and I'm all about praying one for another. But praying for sister's big toe, you know, is good. But we need to pray for people's eternal state, you know, how they're going to be if they die. We need to be more concerned about souls than anything. And so if you have somebody you're praying about, I've got actually several this past Wednesday night. People were praying for lost souls. And I do pray for those souls. I'm praying for Bonna's husband. I'm praying for others and some of your brothers and sisters. And so keep those prayer requests going. How many people did you pray for in the last 7 days? How much time did you spend for them? Do you have a burden for their soul? Prayer is a must in soul winning. Soul winning is the heart, at the heart of spiritual warfare. And when we enter into the battlefield, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in darkness. There is that spiritual battle. We need to have the whole armor of God on, and prayer is one of those mighty weapons. Amen. Amen. So be prepared by praying. Our prayers should be specific, and our prayers should be passionate. A tearless heart can never be the heralds of His passion. E.M. Bounds, who was a great prayer warrior, and he's written so many books on prayer, he says this, quoting Richard Newton, "The principal cause of my leanness and the unfruitfulness is due to an unaccountable backwardness to pray. I have long since learned that if I was ever to be a minister or used of the Lord, faith and prayer must make me one. When I can find my heart dissolved in prayer, everything else is comparatively easy." So prayer is so huge when it comes to being a witness. So how do we pray? We can pray. Remember, only God can save a soul. I said that already, but we are just needful of the Lord. Amen. I need Thee every hour is the song, and when it comes to leading somebody to Christ. And when you witness, when you talk to somebody about the Lord, you can pray at the same time. Amen. Right? Amen. Pray at the same time, Lord, help me. Give me what I should say to this person. And it's not complicated. You say, well, I don't know all the verses. We can just tell that person what God did for us, how Jesus saved us. You don't have to have all the verses, and God can use that. The Holy Spirit can take it, and you can lead a soul to the Lord. So pray persistently. Pray at the door. Pray washing the car. Pray daily for God to give you a soul. What to pray for? The right passion. Go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. It's time to quit. Thank you for coming for this hour. Psalm 126, I love this. this is really the way Leon, a hard case. Leon was a hard case. But you know what got Leon? It was this verse right here. It was the tears that we prayed and shed over Leon and his soul. And him and his wife were here today. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, that's the Bible, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Do you believe that? You have to expect it. You believe God can save a person even at their hard case? You know, God can humble a person, can't he? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And they may be rough and calloused. Leon was that way. And we just kept loving on him, kept praying for him, kept weeping over his soul. And it does my heart so good to see him come to church. Amen. And they don't have long. Shirley's got cancer. And he's got all kinds of issues. And, you know, it could be any day for any one of us. But if things keep going, they're not going to be on this earth anymore. But I'm glad they'll go to heaven because of what Jesus did. Amen. So pray for the right passion. Pray for the right words. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And pray that the Lord would help you not to get discouraged. Amen. Because you can. You can get discouraged. You can get down, and we need to pray. It's okay to pray for yourself. Pray for the possibilities. Christ died for all souls. Amen. Amen. Everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Those who are sad. And, you know, I took a little part-time job just to stay busy up in Prescott Valley, and a lot of tracts went out. Even one person bowed. They were so discouraged coming out of Walmart. I was one of those greeters, you know, Walmart greeters. And that dear soul got saved right in her cart, right in her buggy. And you know what? People are searching for the Lord. Amen. Remember Stephen Korzynski knocked on my door? Oh, the office was over there. And he said, I'm getting ready to take my life. And, you know, he was ready. He would just give up. He calls me all the time. He lives, where does he live, in Chicago, somewhere up there north? And he calls me, sends me birthday cards. You know, God changed his life completely. That's what Jesus can do with a person. Give them hope. Give them peace. And it's just loving people and praying for people and giving them the Bible, giving them Jesus, because he can set them free, make them free. He died for all souls. We know we are praying. Oh, I like this. We know we're praying in accordance to God's will when we pray about people getting saved, don't we? You don't have to ask. You don't have to doubt it. God wants us to pray for lost souls. Are you passionate about praying for souls? Soon, just like Jesus, and this message is not just for you, David, soon you will be entering your public ministry. One church had on the back door, right above the door, you are now entering the mission field when you go out the door. Jesus entered his public ministry after he was baptized. He fought the devil there and won, by the way. Jesus always gave the word of God, didn't he? But then John the Baptist, his heart was broken. And then he went out by the Sea of Galilee and he called Peter and his brother Andrew. And he was passionate about those men, and God changed their life. Soon you'll be entering your public ministry. Are you passionate? You say, I've never led a soul to Christ. Are you praying for souls, that God would give you a soul? It is the heartbeat, and we need to stick with it. When I had my ordination back in Florida, well, we actually came out and started this church, and Pastor Hodges said, you need to come on back. We're going to have your ordination. And so we went back there, and that's something preachers are in fear and trembling about. You know, you kind of get interrogated, and they ask you all these questions. I remember them asking me this, what if this ordination council, all these preachers, you know, well-scripted preachers, what if we don't decide to ordain you? What are you going to do? I said, I'm still going to Glendale and starting a church because God's called me to do that. Amen. You ordain me or not. And that's what they wanted to hear. But I remember they ask you all these questions about the ministry. And you study for that. And we had just came down here and actually got acclimatized or whatever. It was in July. And we were so hot. About lost my wife. But I remember we were trying to study and we just got used to the 3-hour time change. For those of you that travel, you know, from Florida to Arizona, it's hard to get used to that. I'm pretty much a regimen type of person. And we just got used to it. Then we had to go back to the ordination, face the council, and then come back and get acclimatized again to the time zone. But I remember all those preachers, what happens after they interrogate you and they charge you? They charge you. If you ever get away from this book, we're going to come get you, you know. And I'm going to pull your ordination certificate and all that. They charge you to stick with preaching the Bible. That's like an ordination service, okay. Now, after they did that, they asked me to come down and kneel. And it was like a hard surface there. I remember that, and I kneeled. But I didn't know 300 preachers were going to come by and pray over me. 300. And I tell you what, I couldn't get up. It was that hard. But you know, that was one of the most moving services that I've ever been in, because I appreciate all those men. They would come. You know how Baptists are. Baptist preachers are long-winded, you know. And they would pray, and they'd pray around the world, and you know, they'd lay their hands. It was so precious. It was so sweet. But you know, I never remember any of their prayers except one old man. And I'm pretty sure it was Wendell Corral. He pastored in Titusville, Florida. He had this low voice. And he put his hand on my head. And he didn't pray around the world. He just said this, Lord, help this man to win souls. Win souls. Win souls. And he quit. I remember that one. Amen. I still get goosebumps. Because that's how it changes. It changes lives, doesn't it? And you don't have to be a preacher to be a soul winner. You don't have to be a trustee or a deacon to be a soul winner. God admonishes us. We're to follow Jesus, and He will make you fishers of men. Let's stand together.